our real parents and family. This is Instant Inspiration, Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. Our real parents and family. Now, we remember reading Jonathan Livingston Seagull, and he told the the seagulls, he said, your real family is not one of flesh and blood, but your real family is made up of those who care about you and those who are spending time with you and being with you and living in your life. They could be your office associates, their business associates. They could be your your club activity. They could be your being a scout leader, you know, where you're working with all these young people, and that's your real family. That's where you put all of your effort and all of your love and all of your joy and training in sharing. But our real parents and family are not of flesh and blood, like Jonathan Livingston Seagull said. Our real family, our real parents, and our real family are the people who care about us. Now, who cares about you as an individual? Who cares about you, and what is the goal that you would like to get out of life? Does anyone else care about your goal? Does anyone else care about what your desires are and your dreams are? Or do people sort of snicker at you and say, you want to be the president? Ha, ha, ha. Tell me another joke, you know. And that's silly. Because the idea is not that you want to be the president, but you're aspiring for greater things than you'd ever dreamed about. And the president is just a direction. And a direction I wouldn't particularly like to go myself. It's a very demanding job. But it's a very prestigious job. Brings you a lot of honors and a lot of other things, and also a lot of time, a lot of opportunity to get in trouble, because you wield so much power, and you are in control of so many things, and it's quite something. But that's part of being the president. That's part of being the father in the family. That's part of being you as an individual. What is it that is your dream and your desire? Are there any people in this world who respect you and who think that you have the capacity to arrive at your dream? Are there any people in this world who dream that with you, for whatever you have in your heart, and would like to see you accomplish it? Is there anybody in the world who would like to see you become president of the United States? Well, that's a good thought, isn't it? That's a good thought, because many people say, you president? Oh, I don't know. The country's in enough trouble as it is without you being the president. And now, what are they trying to say? What they are saying is that they themselves feel inadequate to do such a job as being president. And if they, who are number one in their book, are superior to you, then you should certainly not be able to do the job as well as they could do it, and they're not going to do it because they can't do it. You see, our real family doesn't ever bring those things into consideration. Our real family and our real parents support us at all times. They look at us and they see in us the greatness that we are. They're always interested in our highest and our best. And being interested in our highest and our best, what do? They do everything they can to lead us in the right direction. Now, we saw the big fat Greek wedding, and what was that all about? The father was always looking for his children to have the best, especially if they were Greek. He wanted the daughters to marry Greeks and the sons to marry Greek girls, and they wanted lots of Greek children. They wanted to have the Greek symbolism come out. But now, before we get hung up on the word Greek, let's remember that could also be Catholic. That could also be Mormon. That could also be any religion in the world or any ethnic group in the world. Because every ethnic group has their principles and has their ways of doing things. And if you get down to it, you find that it's great. Now, the mother in the movie, she said to her daughter, you know, with the wars that had been fought in Greece, and they were taught to think that it was good just to be able to be alive. And the mother said, no, we're not raising you to be alive. We're raising you to be yourself, to be whatever your dream is within you, to follow whatever your desire is for yourself, to be free, not just to be able to do things just and have a lot of rules over you that are not very comfortable, but to be yourself. And the daughter, she felt responsible to the father because the father had been so bombastic about the Greek philosophy, the Greek way, the Greek things. But when it came to push and shove, he sort of moved into place. And he realized that his daughter was in love, and thereby that changed the rules. When it changed the rules, and of course the guy she loved turned out to be a pretty good guy too, who was able to roll with the family program, although he had his own too. He had his own. The Greeks being great meat eaters and he being a vegetarian. But you see, who were his real parents? Were his real parents the parents that he was born with? Or were his parents this Greek mother and father who took him in like a son and wanted to urge him to be the best, to be the greatest, but to have fun? Not to go beyond his enjoyment limit, but to go to his enjoyment limit. In other words, not to be some great being that he wasn't really drawn to do, but just to be the greatest they can do, that he wants to do. And he felt very comfortable in there. And as one of his friends said, they're going to make you jump the hoop, you know, and cooperate with them. And he says, yeah, it's worth it. He says, I'm getting the woman who has made me feel alive for the first time in all my life, someone who really was a partner that I wanted to have. And now, who is his real family? Was it his parents? They were not bad people. They were just a different style. They were laid back and relaxed. And the Greek family was alive and filled with music and song and dance quite often, according to the way the film went. I'm sure they had their quiet moments too. But it's part of life when we realize who our real parents are and who our real family are and our real friends are. Because we sometimes hold to, as the girl was doing, she was holding to her father's rules and her father's, she said, I don't want my father to be sick. I don't want my dad to be sick because, you know, I'm not doing what he wants me to do. I don't want him to be sick. And her mother says, don't worry about it. In other words, the mother could have said, this too shall pass. Because that is essentially what happens in all of relationships. But again, her real family turned out to be the man that she fell in love with, because he encouraged her to be what she was. Now, her own brother was kind of weak, but he was a young man and he hadn't found himself under a domineering father. And when she said she didn't know whether she was worthy of this very fine young man she was going to marry, he says, oh, I think you are. Just some simple little words that just touched her heart and made the whole thing, it could have been the entire movie. You know, it was so significant. But this, it's not because he was her brother that said that. It was because he loved her. He loved his sister. He loved her as a human being and as a beautiful soul in this world. And she obviously never picked on him. She never was worried about him. She was just always walking her own path and doing a great job of it. Sort of. As the saying goes, she finally woke up. But, you see, when we stop and think who our real family is and who our real parents are, we start to realize it might have been a book. It might have been a poem that we read. It might have been an individual in some club or some organization we might have been in. It might have been some, well, like in Toastmasters. A lot of people get in Toastmasters because they feel incompetent. They feel insecure. They feel not worthy of themselves. And in Toastmasters, they don't care. They just say, hey, get up and say something. And have nothing to say? Well, then say something about nothing, you know. And get you free to go, hey, you're a worthwhile person. You have something to say. Say it. It's not a matter that it has to be something great and wonderful, but it's worthwhile. Now, that's your real family. That's your real parents speaking out, saying, hey, you're all right. I mean, everybody's all right. What the heck? If you say something dumb, big deal. We all say things dumb now and then. And that's your family. That's your real parents speaking out to you and opening you up and letting you fly and be something wonderful. It's a great show. It's a great show. I know I was always amused when I was the editor of the Atwater Signal, for instance. There we had the Junior Chamber of Commerce that we started. The Senior Chamber of Commerce was the older bugs, you know. And we went to the Junior Chamber where us young fellows who were just getting started in our world, in our 20s and 30s and so forth, doing our own thing. And the Junior Chamber is a valid organization. And so we had to have a project. And so I started the project of the Poison Control Center for the city of Atwater. And we put it in the Bloss Memorial Hospital. And it became a very viable instrument for helping a lot of people. Because there were a lot of poisonous things around that people get into their diet or into their system, and it could hurt them badly if they didn't know how to read the symptoms, and the hospitals don't cover everything, you know. So we did this, and we put this in there, and it was kind of fun. But my parents were my members of the Junior Chamber of Commerce, and they were a great bunch of guys. But they couldn't hold their liquor very well. I ended up driving them home oftentimes and putting them to bed, and their wife would come in and say, you take care of them, you take care of them. But it was fun because the wives respected me, the guys respected me, the whole community. It was just a wonderful thing because that was like my parents, you know. And my dad came to visit one time in Atwater, and the day he drove in town, the fog hit town, and the day he left, the fog left. But meanwhile, the month that he was there, it was just Socko London fog all the way, and he wanted sunshine. He had come out for his rheumatism and arthritis so he could have sunshine, and he came from Arizona just to visit because we had sunshine. But the minute he drove in town, it went away. So he sat in the house most of the time with the heater on and trying to keep himself happy. But the guys I was with all day long and doing things with all day long had a happy attitude about things. They weren't worried about arthritis. They weren't worried about those things because basically they were too young to be concerned with it. But Pop had that. Now, did I worry about Pop? No. He just did his thing. And did I know why he had arthritis and rheumatism? Sure. He did his thing. He felt that he had to be everywhere doing everything with his company, and he had to be out working in the cold in his suit, which wasn't adequate for keeping him warm. The other guys had everything else on to keep warm in Wisconsin, but he was out there in a suit, and he had to take off his overcoat so he wouldn't mess it up with the concrete. And I oftentimes said to the guys, I said, why is Pop doing that? You know, he hired you guys to do that. Well, he always knows better how to do it. And he's got to get in there and show us. And, of course, he did. But the fellows all admired him. They respected him. They loved him. And he died early. But that's a silly thing to do, isn't it? It's a silly thing to do to think that you're so independent, not independent, but so indispensable, not independent, but indispensable, that you just, they can't get along without you. Mm-hmm. And in the process, they don't care. And you, your body just doesn't take it because you aren't taking care of your body. But all things together, he did what he did. And because he was so busy and because I saw very little of him, my neighbors were my father, you know, and my teachers were my father, and my friends were my father, guiding me and directing me along the path. And so our real family, our real people in our world are the people who take the time to care about us, are involved in the same type of activities that we are, and are just not so demanding like a parent would be. And it makes it kind of fun. So think about these things. Our real parents and family are not the ones of flesh and blood that we know so well, but they're the ones that give us so much love in their heart. No demands, just love and acceptance. Have a wonderful day, and I love you very much.